Surprise, everybody. I'm not dead. That may be a surprise if you listen to the tone of the last episode that I recorded and the amount of time that I've allowed to pass between episodes, but hey, yeah, here I am. The more astute of you will notice that I am not indeed dead. Also, the more astute of you will notice that there has been no Jesse May Peluso episode. These things happen, but I will say that it is not for, it didn't happen because for a lack of trying or anything like that. And also that her Vancouver dates have now come and gone. So I don't see much of a point. I mean, other than just kind of just interviewing another person, but I don't see much of a point from her perspective as far as promoting specific dates. So will it happen? I don't know, but I am not pursuing it anymore. And yeah, that's all. So I also have not recorded in a few weeks. I've been either very busy or just haven't had much to talk about, really. And I did try to record a couple days ago, and which I will redo tomorrow. Let me put it like this. We'll try to get redone tomorrow. Just talking about all this gun control stuff and a bunch of other shit too. But to the matter at hand is this interview that I had set up and done with legendary comedian Todd Barry. He is one of my favorites. I love him a lot. I have his album Medium Energy, which is really a lot of fun to listen to. I saw him for the first time back in September 2013 at the Biltmore when he brought his crowdwork tour here. All crowdwork. It was no prepared material. It was a lot of fun. It was a really fun show. And so he's going to be back here in March, March 8th, with Todd Barry and friends at the Fox Cabaret. That'll be a Thursday. And then March 10th, he's doing two shows at the Biltmore, an early and a late show, which being the Saturday. And he's, again, is just an all crowd work special, or two shows, I should say. He did recently just release his Netflix special Spicy Honey, which is streaming now. You can watch that. And a few months back put out a book called Welcome to Hattiesburg, One Comedian's Tour Through Not Quite the Biggest Cities in the World. This interview is fairly short. It was about 15, just under, I think just under 15 minutes long. It also, We had agreed earlier that it would happen by phone prior to him coming to Vancouver. And I also did not know, I'll set it up a bit for you. We had been emailing the previous day just trying to set some dates up when our schedules would work. And him being in New York, of course, he's 3 hours ahead of me, so it can be kind of tough to juggle those schedules. And so it would have been a Thursday. So Wednesday we were emailing, Wednesday morning on my way to work, and then for the rest of the day and for the rest of the Thursday morning I didn't hear anything back, so we were just still waiting for an answer. And in the afternoon I got an email, said, hey, how about today? at 7:30 his times, which would have been 4:30 Pacific time, and which I was not at all prepared for, I will admit fully. I had no questions written, and no gear with me. So this interview was recorded entirely on my phone. So I'm sorry it's not going to be the usual kind of audio quality that I strive for with all these others. But it actually turned out fairly well. I was fairly comfortable. I do hate talking on the phone. And yeah, he was good to talk to. What else can I say, man? So I guess you're gonna hear a bit of background noise, but again, gladly not as much as I thought there would be, because I work at the airport and there is nowhere that's quiet there. So, it wasn't exactly ideal conditions, but it turned out really well, and I'm pretty happy with it. I hope you enjoy it, and if you're noticing that the podcast now sounds a little bit different just from this intro, I did recently, just the other day, get my hands on a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 Generation 2. I'm not sponsored, but I'm just really happy, because I'm recording with my famously finicky Shure SM7B, again, not sponsored, I have no sponsors, that produced a lot of noise because I was running it into a shitty Behringer mixer. And I got some advice, and now I have this interface, and oh my god, it sounds so much better. I'm very happy with it, and it was only like $200, which is pretty fucking good for this quality. Anyway, I won't delay it anymore. Todd Barry, he's coming to Vancouver just for Laughs Northwest. All links can be found in the description on my site, or just go to, I don't have the website, but toddberry.com for sure, and look up Todd Barry. Did I say Tom Barry? Toddberry.com and Todd Barry Just for Laughs Northwest. You won't be disappointed. Thank you very much. Here is our interview. So last time you were in Vancouver was, the last time you brought the crowdwork tour to Vancouver was September 2013. And now you're doing that again with Just for Laughs this March. What made you want to do it again?
I just released a Netflix special and I was a little hesitant to do stuff from that special on the road. But even though it's probably something I could do, but so I just thought maybe while I'm gathering some new material, just do some crowd work shows.
Yeah, does it kind of keep things fresh for you rather than doing that prepared stuff just to, you know, you never know what each night's gonna be.
Yeah, I mean that is the exciting part, is that it is surprising to me, and also, you know, just if you do jokes a bunch of times, sometimes you get a little tired of doing them. But so this sort of keeps it fresh.
Yeah, I think you and Big J Okerson are probably the quickest crowdwork comics that I've seen, but you're very different in your style.
Yeah, you and I are very different. Yeah.
What do you think it takes to do it well?
Well, I guess just being quick is the way to, is mainly it. I mean,
yeah.
Do you? He's very quick, but he's got a different, you know, sensibility than I do. But so I think just being quick-witted and trying to have a conversation so that's not just ordinary. Finding the funny, even if there isn't a lot of funny there.
Do you ever find that you have to? Does it kind of force you to empathize with audiences more?
I don't know if I empathize with. I mean, I try not to be cruel to them. That's not, if that's what you're asking. But
sure, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I try to treat it just like I'm curious, and because I am curious, and just to make an interesting conversation back and forth.
What's
yeah, pretty- I don't, and I will insult people, but it's all in good fun, as they say.
Yeah, everybody knows the context of it.
Yeah.
What spurred you to write your book, Thank You for Coming to Hattiesburg?
I got an inquiry. I mean, over the years, when you're a comedian, you get to do stuff that you're not really qualified to do. And one of the things is often being asked to write a book. So a book agent contacted me and said, wanted to see if I had a book in me, you know? And I said, I'd like to do that, but I don't have any ideas. And he said, well, let's think of one right now. So he just started talking to me and asking me questions, and I kind of said, oh, I like, in the course of the conversation, I said, I like doing these smaller market cities sometimes, and
mm-hmm.
shows in places that aren't necessarily huge markets, like a Hattiesburg, Mississippi, or like Little Rock, Arkansas, places like that. We're not, it's not like Chicago or Boston or something where every comic and band comes through there necessarily.
Right. Was it different because your style of stand-up is, you know, one, you know, low energy and one-liners. Was it kind of weird?
I'm not really a one-liner. What's that? I do one-liners. But...
Or, like, shorter bits, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I don't do necessarily rants. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Was it weird to kind of be doing, like, longer form stories, or was it something that you just really enjoyed?
I mean, the way I wrote it was, it's just a tour diary, so it's, the chapters are kind of small, they're just a few pages each, so that sort of made it a little easier, because I didn't have to think about how something on page 200 affected something on page, you know, 23 or something.
Right.
And, so they were like separate little entries, so they were sort of little essays or journal entries, basically, but yeah, I mean, it's different. I'd never written a book, so it is different because you're just trying to be funny and there's no one laughing while you're writing it, so.
Does it kind of make it difficult to gauge whether or not it's
going to be... I can't hear you, sorry.
Sorry, does it make it difficult to gauge whether or not it's going to be good, whether or not you're going to like it?
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing, because if you try a new joke out 5 times, you know, you're going to have some definitive knowledge of whether it's a good joke or the beginnings of a good joke. And it's kind of, with writing a book, it's kind of like I would just try write stuff, and if it made me laugh, I would keep it. But it's very challenging because it is a road diary, and just not enough, really, not a lot of crazy things happen along the road. So
mm-hmm.
you're keeping it real and true like I did. And some of it is just, you know, mundane stuff. But I tried to make it as funny as I could, but who knows.
With Netflix kind of, or rather Netflix specials kind of supplanting HBO as a sign of, like, being at a certain level, and you recently released your Spicy Honey. After you've, you know, in such a long career that you've had, are you more feeling your place in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, there is some sort of cachet, I guess, to having a Netflix special, even though there are quite a few of them.
Yes.
I mean, they put words in Los Angeles with just about my special, so things like that make you feel like, oh, I'm really in show business on some level. I mean, not that I never felt that, but it's just kind of like a, not big time, but it's somewhat big time to have billboards on
sure.
Sunset Bar.
But it is kind of an external confirmation of that.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot what your question was. I'm sorry.
Are you feeling, if it's more of a level of recognition.
Yeah.
Because I think you should be bigger than you are.
Well, I appreciate that. But, yeah, I mean, that's always a double-edged sword, because on one level I know what you mean, but also on some level I am, you know, I'm feeling better than some people are, you know.
That's good.
I shouldn't say it like that, but I mean, I'm doing fine is what I'm saying.
What do you feel is your greatest stand-up achievement? What are you most proud of?
Well, I mean, I like this last special, and I like the crowd work tour. Crowd work tour is probably one of my favorite things I've done, just because I think it was well shot and well directed, and I spent a lot of time editing it, or helping with the editing. It was edited by someone else, but I sat with her, and I just thought it was kind of a unique kind of special, and more of a documentary, I guess. But yeah, so I mean, that's one of my favorite things I've done, and the recent special, probably some other stuff that I can't think of.
It was fun and interesting to watch the Crowdwork tour special, because I was at the Vancouver show. And just watching, like, I mean, it's obvious and kind of, you know, but how different every night would be, and you get kind of a sense of it from those sets. And one memory I have is you and the cameraman were actually looking for the Biltmore, because it's tucked away in like an odd spot. Yeah. And I walked past you guys, and I was fucking too dumb and and starstruck to say anything. But I'm glad that you eventually found it.
Yeah, my girlfriend lived in Vancouver for a while, and she said that she really liked that scene because everyone gets lost going to the Biltmore. So
yeah, that's definitely true. I'll quit two more things. By most people's definitions, you'd be probably labeled as like an alternative comic.
I don't agree with that, but
no.
Anyway.
I don't
know what that means, so I kind of wouldn't call myself that.
You don't think there's much of a distinction between, you know, people who are called that?
What makes me an alternative comic?
I think it's mostly the energy and sort of like this is kind of an odd choice, but like something like your site, where you've got the receipt diary and kind of thing. It's, I don't know, it's kind of a weird connection, but I think for some people you would fit that label. And
I just, how would that make me? I'm not being combative. I'm just trying to, because people do say that to me, you know, and it doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know what it means.
To be honest,
you know, I'm just kind of telling jokes the way people have been telling jokes for a long time. So I mean, the only time I use alternative comedy is if I'm describing maybe a room that's not full time comedy club, and you know, I might say there's an alt room in town, but as far as like my energy, that doesn't make me an alternative comic. Or
I know, my thought was just what your distinction was, but if you know, that's what it is, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I do anything that's too weird to be at a comedy club, and often at, you know, these rooms that are labeled alt rooms, there's a lot of pretty mainstream stuff going on and pretty traditional stand-up, and you know, there's a handful of sort of alt type people who think that they are doing something different, but they're not.
you think that they're kind of a lot more mainstream than they would maybe admit?
I mean, I don't even think mainstream is, I don't mean that as a slam. I mean, like, there's, you know, it's, you're on stage talking about something that happened to you at a restaurant or whatever. I mean, that's nothing. It's like the story. story you're telling, and it might be funny, it might not be funny, but it's not. It's not like something that it can only work in this one room. It's just
right.
I'm not being as articulate as I should be.
But no, I think I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Last thing, first of all, I thank you for even agreeing to this. I always appreciate it. And since you're rolling the wrestler, how many big spin-off series have been offered to you? I mean, you've got this Netflix special. Do you think you could parlay that into a series?
It's weird. When I did the wrestler and it kind of got high profile, at least the movie did, I was actually like, oh my god, my life is going to change so much. I was actually worried about that. And, it, you know, I can't say, I mean, I've certainly done stuff since then, but I can't say it just was, it didn't lead to, like, hundreds of offers or anything, or
sure.
I mean, it was a lot of, like, wow, I didn't expect to see in that movie, and a lot of compliments, but it didn't lead to, like, a flurry of new opportunities.
What you were thinking of.
But it's a good thing to have done, and it's one of the most exciting things I've ever done. So.
Well, that's really cool, and thank you for doing this, and also I really enjoy your Twitter. You're probably one of the best accounts to follow.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks again.
It's annoying, but it's awesome.
Yeah, it kind of is. You're here March 8th. I'll plug the your shows in the... and the intro as well, but you're here March 8th through 10th at the Fox Cabaret with your podcast, correct?
No, I'm not doing my podcast. I don't know. I hope they're not advertising that still. But
okay.
I'm going to do like a Podbury and Friends type show, which I don't know who the friends are yet.
Okay.
I'm doing my crowd work shows. I think that's all I'm doing. I don't know if I'm doing anything else.
Okay, yeah. Crowd work, I believe, is at the... Well, it's going to be at the Biltmore again on the 10th.
Yeah. I think I'm doing two shows in one night, so...
That's right. Well, thank you very much, Todd, and have
sure.
a good day.
Thanks for talking. Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.